Hey everyone, thanks for joining me on the Bio Breakthroughs podcast. I'm your host, Jared S. Taylor, and I am joined today by the CEO of Lecarda. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm Stella Vnook. Wonderful to join you.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you here. I first met the founding team at Lecarda at Bio 2023 in Boston. We were on this bullpen, had an event, and met them, and seeing how passionate they were and excited about the company, I knew that we had to connect and have you on. So let's first, if we can, Stella, let's focus on what led you, like first your background, and then what led you to Lecarda.
Well, I think my background is what led me to Lecarda. I started out long ago, 25 years ago, in science, and I have so much passion for developing new drugs. But then over time, you know, clinically speaking, I really was passionate about clinical oncology. And then I quickly, out of my internship, went into Merck and company and really transitioned into business. So I feel like for the next 20, 25 years, I really focused on strategy, business, marketing, mergers and acquisitions, scale up, scale up, scale up, and exit. So it's wonderful that about 5 years ago, I wanted to bridge maybe who I am and convert the, you know, corporate business person to back to the science. And I've become a founder of scientific companies. And when I met Lisa and Karthik of Lecarda, the two co-founders, I was immediately immersed in brilliance of their science, but also understood the challenge that unless we're able to translate that beautiful, brilliant science into, well, what does that mean from a business perspective? It will be challenging for them to actually make this available for therapeutics. So first I started working with them just as an advisor, which I do a lot. I step into quite a few companies, usually startups, and try to be an advisor. And then we had such a great synergy as a team. I stepped in as a CEO in September of last year.
I want to know if you're okay with sharing. How does that conversation go? Because you and I were talking about, you know, in other spaces, you might not see that someone step in as the CEO. It usually, you know, one of the founders stays with it. But this in this industry, that is very common. But what does that conversation look like? So you started as an advisor. Is that something that, I'm sure it differs, right? There's probably times you're like, I want to be CEO. And there's times where maybe the founders want to be like, hey, we would love to discuss having you. Like, how does that conversation go typically?
With great appreciation for how challenging it must be. I don't think that I have appreciated how closely related the startup as a founder and being a parent is, but there's just a lot of synergies until I become a founder of my own startups. And I give Lisa and Karthik actually a lot of credit and courage for understanding that they have built a company, they have taken it for 7 years as far as it can go, and realizing that maybe the next phase should be led by somebody who is more in biotech, pharma, corporate M&A strategy. Not everybody's quite ready. So to your question, how does that discussion begin? That's why I like to start as an advisor or maybe as a board member, because you never want to force that upon themselves. Like it would be awkward and it would feel unfair. But working side by side with someone, they will either realize that it serves the technology better, that somebody else leads it, or you continue to work with them, you know, side by side. Hopefully it doesn't get to the point where, which happens, and it breaks my heart when the board steps in and says, right, there needs to be, because then it feels like an awkward transition.
Yeah, those situations, while, you know, in some cases still necessary, it probably becomes a little bit more difficult when it happens that way to foster a collaborative environment, right? And still have that, like you still have the passion of the founders and they're super excited, right? Because it wasn't that situation. super interesting. So for, if you could also, let's assume someone hasn't heard of Lakarta. What is the pitch that you give them? What would you tell them? Because that, the, by the way, whenever someone listens and they haven't heard of the company, those are my favorite people to reach because we're educating them on this you know, a new company.
So it's a core shell spherification. And if, I will try not to be too high science. So think of beautiful beads that inside of them are cells. And why is that important? Because when those beads are administered to a target, let's say a solid tumor, maybe a liver, right? Let's pick on that. Then those beads are sticky and each of them have millions of cells inside. And inside those beads is also a microenvironment. Think of it as nutrients that cells feed off of so they can stay alive. So if you were talking about life-saving cancer therapy, we know that we can, using this technology, administer it directly to the target organ. We can make it sustained release, like you know with the counter products, right? Take it once a day, right? So we can actually make the therapy sustained release so it can last for 3 months or 6 months or longer. And we can make the cells alive for so they're viable and they're healthy and then they can actually do the most effect on the target. So that's the best way that I can explain it. You know, as a pharmacist, I can go back to God knows when we would take, you know, salicylic powder. We don't do that anymore. We even figured out how to put aspirin in a soft gel. So think of it as a protective layer for the precious cells. We can use it for proteins. We can also use it for small molecules. And also what it does, it protects the cells from harsh environments of cryopreservation, right? So it makes the cell, when we freeze cells, they lose potency. And then we have to, you know, let's say do gene editing, and then we have to freeze them again in order to ship it to patients. It becomes cumbersome and we lose a lot of efficacy. And our technology actually enables the cells to stay protected during transportation and during cryopreservation.
What I would like to hear are there any success stories? Are there anything that you can share regarding this today?
Yes, we are working on a lot of cell therapy. So the ones that I would highlight, for example, it's very difficult to work with liver cells. And Lakarta has made a lot of efforts to demonstrate how we can protect the liver cells and make them viable. We also are working with a company that has hormone therapy. It's a small molecule, but it's a hormone therapy that for patients that receive it would, you know, be very uncomfortable to have the highs and lows of hormone peaks and valleys, right? We're working on a formulation that would require only one injection for 3 to 6 months. So it's really about improving patient care. Another example that I would highlight is around shipping. As you know, a lot of the cell therapies, we need to ship cells as fresh as we would like it to be. But it's very costly. So we're actually working with quite a few companies in order to help them ship their cell therapy on dry ice. You know, that's, you know, brilliant. And I think because Lakarta has been working on animal health side in type 1 diabetes for dogs, which people don't really talk about, but it's a real issue. And they have their own therapeutics, and they had to figure out how to protect the cells from immune system. And then they were working on osteoarthritis, a product for horses. So again, for horses, they were working with a client in Canada. So they had to figure out how do you ship those cells across the border on dry ice. So interestingly enough, they had to adopt. So part of the innovation is being able to be adaptable and agile. And they really embrace all those elements because they had to adopt to the veterinary market. But now we have to learn from it, right? So sometimes we learn from the animal side and actually make improvements in the human health side.
When you're looking for partners to collaborate with, I'm sure that's a big part of your day-to-day. You're always probably looking for who makes sense, right? What does that process entail? Like, what type of organizations, I know you mentioned a little bit, but kind of what does someone need to hit to want to collaborate with you? Like, what excites you about partners that they kind of, if you had a checkbox, right, that they have to hit, what does that look like?
Well, there's two types of partners. So there's a partner that we say, we're going to partner with you in enabling your therapeutic to be better. So in that case, it would be, you know, partner-client type of relationship. If someone has a cell therapy that, let's say, in liver cell therapy product, and it's going to cure a lot of people, but they're noticing that the cells are really not stable. Or they are increasing the dose of cells, but they realize that, you know, they can't go that high until they're seeing side effects. And they really want to improve their cell therapy, cell viability, and they need a partner in drug delivery. I would love to talk. I want to talk to everybody who is working on years of this brilliant invention and somehow figure out that this drug delivery technology is going to help them get to the patient. Right, we have so many patients that are just waiting in queue for a new study to open up, to be eligible for the new study that to open up. And we want to be the conduit to bringing that treatment to patients. So that's one type of a partnership. Another partnership could be with larger organizations. For example, somebody who works in biologics or protein therapy, let's say maybe they're a CDMO or they're doing a later stage clinical work. So they would be an ideal partner for us because we do the early feasibility, we identify the drug delivery, but then we would be able to work with them on later stage or manufacturing, but also allows us to get access to a lot broader client perspective. Partners in the transportation, logistics. Again, we can offer the solution to ship it on dry ice, but we're certainly not going to create the boxes and the infrastructure to do that. So we're looking for people that already have created. We don't want to recreate the wheel. We want to be part of the solution.
I love that. Don't recreate the wheel, be part of the solution. What a quote. What do you see in terms of future directions, ambitions for Lacarta and, you know, both the field? I know you mentioned a little bit, but in the field of cell therapy and regenerative medicine.
Well, I think in cell therapy, it's clear. We would love to have more partners or clients, however we call it, because we would love to say that we were the conduit to bringing that treatment to patients faster, safer, better. I mean, that's a badge of honor that I think everybody would be wearing with pride. I think the huge and ambitious objective for us is to launch our off-the-shelf product. It will be one for osteoarthritis cell therapy and one for logistics. So we want to be able to work with blood banks and leukopak companies and other pharma and really try to show them that there is an option, a better option to ship their cells on dry ice. I think that would remove a huge burden from the system and a huge cost from the system.
In terms of, you know, obviously there's a lot that goes on here day to day. Where does funding come in? Like I think it was like last month, right? That you took in some additional funding. You know, I guess long-term, if you can speak to it, I know there's certain things you can't speak to, but, I know in terms of that process and talking with investors, I know our audience always loves to hear kind of, you know, what goes through your mind, since that is obviously a huge part of it. Anything that you can share, but I know I don't want to be too pushy.
No, it's actually very important. I think that was one of the things that I had to learn over 5 years. How do you fund a startup or a young company, right? So first of all, LaCarta has been truly blessed with a single investor, that's the Wirth family, Peter Wirth, who I've met. Him and his team are absolutely phenomenal individuals. And one of the reasons they support LaCarta is because they believe in islet cell type 1 diabetes for dogs. They believe in the technology and they believe in the founders. And Peter Wirth has really made a true statement when they said they will embrace entrepreneurship and embrace founders. He really did. So LaCarta has been very fortunate to have Wirth Family Ventures supporting them. In January, we kicked off Series A, and discussions are going great. Remember, we're transitioning LaCarta from a therapeutic company to we are a revenue generating drug delivery technology, right? And we're sort of doing it overnight. And I keep joking with my team. It's, you know, there used to be saying we fly the plane and we're refueling it, but we're sort of we're flying the plane, we're refueling it, and we're changing pilots. So it's a lot going on. Another important element in funding is obviously non-dilutive funding. So it's looking and identifying those opportunities where there is a support from the state, from the government. And it's really important more than ever now for the states to step up. So we were coming out of a really tough year in 2023. So I hope maybe that message will resonate, and there needs to be more support for early startups innovations from the government level, from the state level. And finally, you know, we've been very particular in where we're spending our money. So it's use of funds, right? It all goes towards scaling up the organization, research and development, so off-the-shelf platform, and we've become very good at doing multiple things. On any given day, if you looked at what I do or what Lisa does, you would think that there is 10 people behind it.
I love it, Stella. I love it. I guess what's next for the company moving forward as we wrap up here?
So definitely look forward to securing the Series A. That's a very important milestone because that and not allows LaCarta to build out our business development and build our scaled up manufacturing engineer tool, which is proprietary to LaCarta. Launch off the shelf formulation for osteoarthritis and for logistics, and gain traction with more clients. The more we can demonstrate success in clinic and in R&D of how this technology can advance and help others, the more impact on what Lisa and Karthik have built will have on therapeutics and overall life cycle management for the drugs.
Well, I can't wait already until we have you back on, but I really appreciate you joining us here today, Stella. It was awesome to hear your story, hear more about LaCarta, and I know all of us that are tuning in, we wish you the best of luck. This is super exciting.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on this International Women's Day. It's great. It's great to have the opportunity to speak with you.